This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is, and welcome to it. It is Monday. That means it is Money in Motion Monday. Klaus Financial joining us here in studio from Klaus Financial, Steve and Kyle. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Good morning, Mike. Go Cubbies.
Yes. How about them Cubs? Man, 2-0. They have game three tonight in San Francisco. Bumgarner, they're going to face, who surprisingly showed up on Saturday night in the batter's box, which was very odd. But you guys must be excited. Kyle, you said, Kyle, I know you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, but are you a Cubs fan? I don't know if I know that answer.
I actually am a Sox fan, but I root for the Cubs as long as they're not playing the Sox. So
yes, they are not playing the Giants tonight, and that's going to be a big one. Hopefully someday it'll be a Cubs-White Sox World Series. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, so yes, we do these segments every single week at 10:30. You can call in with your questions at 815-398-9765. That's 398-WROK. We will, towards the end of the show, ask the Klaus Quiz question of the week. And this week, if you have a pet, you will like this. A $25 gift card for PetSmart for the caller with the first answer to the Klaus Quiz question of the week. And yes, listeners, you can also find answers to any of your questions likely at KlausFinancial.com. These segments are sponsored by Klaus Financial, KLAASFinancial.com. That's KLAASFinancial.com. A lot of people are in, they work for businesses and they have corporate retirement plans. And I know there are a bunch of different sorts of corporate retirement plans. What types of corporate retirement plans are there for individuals specifically?
No, that's a great question, Mike. And in reality, most people are probably familiar with the 401k type of retirement plan through your employer. If you are working for a nonprofit such as a hospital and or are a teacher, municipality, then it'd probably be designated as a 403b. It's just the codes in the IRS that allow for the contributions. As a municipal employee, you may also have an option of what they call a 457 type plan and or profit sharing. So there are some variations out there. The biggest difference that we try to point out for individuals when they're asking whether or not I should contribute to an IRA or a 401k, sometimes that reference is maybe their employer does not provide a match for the contribution. That's another thing that you might hear of many times, where based on the amount of contribution you make from as a percentage of your salary, more times than not, the employer may provide some type of a match. However, with that being also the case, through the employer retirement plans like the 401ks or 403bs, you're also able to contribute a much larger amount of money into your plan. And what I mean by that is that with you being age 50 or under, you can actually contribute up to $18,000 a year into the plan versus an IRA that would only allow $5,500 a year. And you've probably heard us talk in the past also about a catch-up provision. It's not a condiment. What we're referring to there is that it's when you're 50 years of age or older, the IRS has added an additional allowable contribution to be made, and that's what they've designated it as, a catch-up provision, which for, again, the 401k or 403b type plans, you could add an additional $6,000 per year for a maximum of $24,000 to your retirement plan from your salary in the year 2016. For an IRA, it increases your contribution from $5,500 a year to $6,500 per year, so you're adding another $1,000 as a maximum contribution.
That's when you turn 50 years old?
Yes, 50 years of age or older. Then you've also heard us... Excuse me, go right ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I was just going to ask, and that's... I mean, if one of the spouses is 50 and the other one is not, that doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's just a... If you're an individual married to somebody, it's the oldest person.
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, it's per individual, per employer. So as you just mentioned, if you're 50 years of age and your spouse is under age 50, you could add the catch-up provision and they would not be able to until they turn 50.
Okay. Okay. So, sorry to interrupt there.
No worries.
And then I've also heard the term defined benefit plan versus defined contribution plan. We talk about this in political talk sometimes about pensions and state pensions. But if you are working on a pension of some sort or any sort of retirement plan as an individual, what is the difference between a defined benefit plan versus a defined contribution plan?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. You just touched on it. So a defined benefit plan, most people know as a pension. So this is very popular with government employees, teachers, firefighters, things of that nature. So what it is a defined benefit is basically saying the employer saying that once you hit this age, typically 55 or 60, we are going to guarantee you this amount of money per month most of the time.
No matter what you paid in, you're going to get this amount.
Yep, exactly. It's usually based on years of service and things like that. So these are starting to go away very fast, obviously. You can see if an employer promises you $3,000 a month for the rest of your life and they have 30,000 employees, you can see how much they're contributing to taking care of their retirees. So we really don't see a lot of these anymore. It pretty much is just your government entities that still have these. Some private employers still have them, but they have been changed numerous times over the years and they are getting more and more scarce. And just because you have a defined benefit plan like a pension doesn't mean that you shouldn't still contribute to a 401k or anything like that, because a lot of times they'll have both. They'll have a defined benefit plan and then they'll also have a 401k. The reason that we say that is obviously the defined benefit plan, you're kind of at the company's mercy. I mean, when American Airlines and companies like that, back when we had the financial crisis, started going under, a lot of people were counting on that pension and they had to restructure them because they couldn't afford to pay all those pilots. They're huge pensions that they were banking on. So the 401k, you can control how much you contribute and how much that benefit, how much benefit you can receive off of that, for the most part, a lot more than you can with the pension plan.
Yes, and I know that you mentioned it, that the defined benefits plans are going away. That's a trend that has occurred, and I know that a lot of governments are trying to get rid of them as well for the government employees, because they just can't afford them through the tax revenue that the state gets or doesn't get, and they're focusing more on defined contribution plans. But if you're the individual, let's say in a corporation or a business, a private entity, what are some considerations if you are electing your defined benefit plan or deciding whether to take that or not?
Well, some of the different choices that you have, Mike, with regard to your employer plan, if in fact you do have a pension, is that when you do look to retire, many times there are different ways that you can take the money out of that pension. Some employers, for instance, allow for what we call a lump sum withdrawal, which would simply mean that from the accumulated dollars in your pension, if you chose to roll it out of your employer into your own IRA, you could do that without any penalties or taxes. In that situation, it would be where you have control over the investments and also the income you would draw from that, unlike what Kyle mentioned a minute ago, where with the employer providing the pension and establishing a lifetime payout, it's a little bit more restrictive. Now, there are pluses to that. Most of the pension choices, if you have a spouse, would usually be providing a 50% benefit to the surviving spouse if you passed away before they did. You also will see where they'll offer 100% benefit just on your own life and many variations thereof. One of the things that we point out from a planning process for individuals to make sure they're working with a professional in deciding which way to go is that once you make that choice, it's not reversible. So with that being the case, it can be a situation where you would have maximum monthly income coming out if you chose just your own life. But most spouses want to be able to continue to provide an income for their spouse if they predecease them. So there are choices to be made and decisions. As you add that to part of your overall retirement planning that you always hear us talk about.
We are speaking with Steve Scow and Kyle Kite from Kloss Financial. This is Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. We're going to take a break, and on the other side of it, we're going to talk about required minimum distributions, RMDs, as well as stretch IRAs. We'll be right back.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is. And KlossFinancial.com is the website for more information. KLAASFinancial.com. If you have any questions at all about anything we're talking about, give us a call at 815-398-9765. That's 815-398-WROK. Before the break, we were talking about the differences between defined benefit plans and defined contributions. Gentlemen, what are required minimum distributions, an RMD?
Yep, that's a great question, Mike, and you hear us talk about these all the time because they are such an important thing for people to be aware of. An RMD is a required minimum distribution, just like you said. It's an IRA mandate that says once you turn age 70 and a half, they force you to start pulling money out of any IRAs that you have, traditional IRAs. The reason they do this, if you think about it, is that they've allowed you to put this money away tax-deferred for all these years, but not tax-free. So once you hit a certain age, they want to start getting their tax dollars out of that. So that's why they force you to start pulling it at age 70 and a half. Again, these apply only to traditional IRAs and not Roth IRAs. So that's a big distinction. And we talked a little bit about Roth IRAs last week or the week before. I can't remember. But that's one of the big selling points of Roth IRAs is that there are no RMD requirements. So again, sometimes you hear us talk about Roth conversions and things like that. So the reason that people would convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA would be if they'd rather pay the tax now so that they don't have to be forced to pull that money out in the future with whatever their tax rate is at point. So another big thing with the IRAs and the RMDs is that because the IRS is forcing you to pull money out at age 70 and a half, you can no longer contribute to a traditional IRA at that point once you turn age 70 and a half. However, you can contribute to a 401k if you're over age 70 and a half and have that working income. So that's a big distinction to make, is that any funds in an IRA over age 70 and a half you cannot contribute to anymore. But if you're still working over age 70 and a half, you can contribute to a 401k plan at that point. So
that is an important distinction. You can contribute to a 401k after 70 and a half, but you don't have to start your required minimum distribution, this taking out of money.
Right, from the 401k.
But any, from the 401k.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any IRAs you still have to pull money out of. So it gets a little sticky.
And I know there are different strategies about Roth conversions to avoid these RMDs.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said a minute ago, some people will start the process of converting traditional IRAs to Roth IRAs if they don't plan on using this money in the future so that they can allow it to grow and then it's tax-free once it's in that Roth IRA wrapper. So some people that will do this are maybe people that have large IRA balances and maybe they have big pensions to where they're not going to need to pull money out of their IRAs for their living expenses. But you're planning on passing this IRA money to the kids or something like that. So what they'll do is they'll pay the income tax on it to convert it to a Roth IRA. And now it's growing for all these years tax-free so that the children can get it too.
I've heard the term, as far as IRAs go, stretch IRA. What is a stretch IRA?
That is a good question, Mike. And in fact, sometimes we've had people come in and say, hey, I want to buy a stretch IRA. And the first thing we point out is it's not actually a product per se. It's a choice that's now been allowed by the IRS, which allows an individual that is not a spouse to actually receive that income from that IRA account over their lifetime instead of taking a lump sum. Now, it's not a requirement where they have to choose that. But if you think about it, most children would end up more times than not cashing out an inherited IRA account, paying taxes on a big lump sum of money all at one time, and then have much less money to be used for their future. With the concept behind the stretching of those payments out over your lifetime, you're then able to keep the dollars invested still growing tax deferred. It does, as Kyle mentioned a minute ago, require a minimum distribution each year from the account based on your respective ages. The options you have with the Stretch IRA are quite flexible. And what I mean by that is that if you start stretching out your payments over your lifetime, and at some point in the future decide you want to take a bigger chunk out, you can do that and still stretch the rest of it out. So it really points out that it is going to come out taxable to you as you receive it, but it gives you the choice. Do you want to take it all at one shot, or would you rather stretch it out over your lifetime? And from a planning standpoint, for grandparents, if it's a situation where they have other dollars that are allocated to their children and their children are all financially taken care of as they desire, a planning process could be to designate the IRA accounts to your grandchildren. Because think about that. If they stretch it over their lifetimes and they're 5, 6, 7 years old when they receive the money, that's a huge amount of money that they would receive in annual payments over their lifetime with it still growing tax deferred. That's an unbelievable planning perspective for college use down the road and a whole lot of other things from grandparents.
And I bet you a lot of people aren't aware that you can do that. You can name grandchildren beneficiaries of Roth IRAs.
Yes, you could, or IRAs even. You know, and again, it's a planning process. There are different strategies. And when you get into much of that, as we point out, we're not accountants, so you always want to check the tax aspects of it with your CPA or accountant. But from a planning standpoint, you can also, with your attorney for legal documents, you could even control how that money comes out. What I mean by that is that the individual receiving the IRA money, for example, would be able to make a decision at that point when they receive it, whether or not they want to take it as a lump sum or stretch it out. For parents that may want to control those decisions for their children and or grandchildren, they could actually have a trust receive the dollars and then automatically stretch it out. So they can provide it as a gift to their children or grandchildren with a preset strategy already in mind. So there is much flexibility in the planning process for individuals once they know, again, as Kyle mentioned, that they're taken care of financially themselves and have the dollars they need for any other potential expenses within their lifetime. From the overall estate planning, there are a lot of choices that could be made with excess dollars, whether they be traditional IRA dollars and or Roth IRA dollars, as Kyle mentioned a minute ago.
Wow, I've learned a lot about IRAs today, stretch IRAs. And by the way, do you get annoyed when people call them IRAs?
yeah, that's an old one too. But yeah, they're IRAs. You know,
I hear that sometimes, and I get that say, "Hey, set up your IRA," and I'm like, "IRA, that's a guy's name, isn't it?"
Exactly.
It's an IRA. Now, we do have time here. Well, not we have time. We better have time to ask the cost quiz question of the week. And if you are listening to this right now and you know the answer to it, and you call 815-877-8440, that's 815-877-8440. If you call that number with the correct answer first, you can win a $25 gift card for PetSmart. That's right, PetSmart. And the question, the cost quiz question of the week is, can you contribute to a 401k after age 70 and a half if you are still working? Again, can you contribute to a 401k after the age 70.5 if you are still working? This is a binary question, a yes or no one. 815-877-8440 is the number. $25 gift card to PetSmart for the first person to answer that question correctly. Steve and Kyle, is there anything else that you would like to add about corporate retirement plans, about required minimum distributions, about stretch IRAs, or anything at all before we say goodbye this week?
Yeah, there was one thing that we forgot to mention when it comes to the defined benefit, the pension plans, Mike. You know, that we said that employers really aren't creating new ones or offering these very much anymore, but we are also seeing an influx of employers trying to get these off of their books, is what we call it. So they are sending out letters to former employees that no longer work there, offering them a pension lump sum buyout of their previous pension that they had there. So we'll see this with people that maybe work somewhere for 10 or 15 years, have an old pension, and now they're getting a letter in the mail saying that the company is offering to give them a lump sum to get rid of their pension. So that's another important distinction.
Important, yeah. And that obviously is pretty self-explanatory, but rather than get, say, and I'm just pulling a number out, $1,000 a month from your pension for the next, 15 years, you might get a letter from your former employer saying, hey, how about we give you 20 grand right now?
Yep.
And you're exactly not getting right. That stuff anymore. That kind of stuff, right?
Yep, absolutely. So if you receive those letters, it's definitely important to sit down with a professional and go through them, because this is treated just like an IRA distribution or anything like that. So if you take that lump sum and don't roll it over, you will have to pay income tax on all that too. So
that's really important, listeners. All the more reason to call Kloss Financial at 815-877-8440. And they, their advice about this can really help you make the right decision if you're in a position like that. And that is a nice position to be in, the lump sum versus continued required minimum distributions. Gentlemen, I know you're excited about the baseball game tonight. Go Cubs, right?
Go Cubs.
Yes. That's going to do it for this hour of the Michael Coolidge Show. We'd like to thank Steve and Kyle for joining us. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks again, Mike. Have an awesome week.
Have a good one, Mike.
You as well. Hopefully we'll be talking about the National League Championship Series at this point next week, and the Cubs are in it. Until next time, we'll see you at Coolidge.com. That's spelled with a K. Go Cubs, and keep that radio on.